This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. All right, Project. Welcome back to this episode. We'll be talking about strength training accessories. This one comes up a lot. And, you know, I'll be the first one to say that actually does make quite a bit of difference. These things can make or break a PR. But they've got to be used carefully, like supplements, right? The right supplement in the right context at the right time can be, you know, the difference between health or illness or, you know, optimal recovery or less recovery, just in the same way that strength training accessories can be for your strength lift. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But before we get into the show, of course, you guys know 8 weeks is the training cycle that we usually do for any of our training programs. We now have an 8-week version of Project Strong. So if you're into strength training, if you want to get stronger, if you're listening to this episode, you want to try some of our programming expertise that we've built up over thousands of clients over the last decade, then this is absolutely a program you should give a shot. It's in an app, so you'll get access to the app, you'll get access to obviously, the video demonstrations, the community access. We'll be messaging you in the app to keep you accountable. So very pumped for anyone that is jumping on Project Strong. So find that at themindmuscleproject.com/strong.
Yeah, and I would say that it's a tough program. You know, it's quite a lot of volume, a lot of heavy weights. There's definitely some accessories. You know, even though you don't need all the accessories, definitely some of the accessories we're going to talk about in the show, you'll probably need if you're like intermediate to advanced and doing the program.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also this time of year where you are looking to purchase gifts for loved ones. And anyone that is into fitness, that's into looking after their health, this is absolutely the time to be purchasing gifts for them. So I would suggest if you are a male purchasing for another male or a female purchasing for a male, so this one is for the guys. This is Manscaped. So you want to check out any of their products, obviously the men's hygiene kit. Basically, they just think of them as the company that is taking men's grooming downstairs to the next level. So you've obviously got the lawnmowers, the closest shave that you can get, no nick technology, which means you can shave your balls, you can shave around the crown jewels without worrying about cutting them. And you can obviously lotion them, balm them, make them smell really nice. It's a very fun process for anyone that likes to take care of themselves downstairs. So
yeah, and they got a bunch of extra stuff, foot deodorant, ball deodorant, like different stuff that, yeah, I think just probably for a guy that doesn't normally go and buy different, you know, lotions and perfumes, makes it more fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. So anyway, you guys can get a awesome discount if you go to manscaped.com. They ship in Australia, ship all over the world. The code, I believe, is MMP20, MMP20, one word, and that will give you 20% off the entire order. And then as well, guys, supporting the show today is Hyper Ice. So Hyper Ice are doing all sorts of different deals at the moment. They just released a new gun. It's called the what's the regular gun called? It's called the
Hypervolt.
No, not the Hypervolt. The Hypervolt is the ball. They've got so many. The Venom Back, and they've got the can't remember what the gun is called, but they've got a new version of the gun, and the gun is called the Go. They've got the blue, the upgraded version, the black version. They're going to absolutely kill us for not knowing the names of these guns. But then the Go version is like the portable version.
Oh, Hypervolt.
I was Hypervolt.
Yeah, so we have the Hypervolt, and they have now a Hypervolt Go. Okay. Which it's really, I would say, like it's like a gun for home use. So the Hypervolt is like a beast, which is like commercial. This is like your home version Vault, which still works really well, but it's more for like just your own probably personal use. And it's obviously a bit more affordable.
Yeah, and if you're looking to splash a little bit more money at these holidays times for someone else, you can invest in the Normatec boots as well, which is the air pressure. I'd say it's one of the most effective ways. If you do a lot of training on your legs, it's an awesome way to kind of improve the recovery in your legs. And they've got versions for your arms as well, but everyone knows the big black boots that everyone lies back in for the legs. So anyway, you can. There's a link in the description. They've got a Black Friday sale coming up this week. So there's a link to that Black Friday sale in the bio of this or in the description of this episode. So make sure you check that out. Click that link and you'll get a significant discount for this Black Friday for any of their products as well. All right, guys, cool. So getting into the show today, we're going to start, I think, probably the most common. I think we'll do strength training accessories in order from most important to probably least important. So of all the ones we've got here, Raf, what are you putting as most important here? As in, I guess, best way to think about it,
makes the biggest difference in how much you can actually start lifting?
Oh, without question, belts.
Yeah. Well, usually you follow up when you say something, you follow up with that or conversation.
No, I was gonna, if you agree, I was looking at it, I was like, man, some days, pre-workout maybe, but but yeah, no, definitely belts. And we've chatted about them before on the show a few times, but there's just so many different ways you can use them.
Yeah.
And I don't think it matters. What's unique about it is that it crosses from like powerlifting, weightlifting, CrossFit training. They all use belts. Different belts, but they all use belts.
Yeah, the first belt I got exposure to was a Velcro belt in CrossFit, and I got it because one of my favorite lifters, this tall guy, his name was, his training partner was Austin Maliolo, but I can't remember the guy's name. Spencer Hendel.
Yeah, Spencer Hendel.
He was like a
massive, tall, German-looking guy.
Yeah, because you know when you follow a sport, you always end up liking the person that's most like you,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so he was like the first professional CrossFit athlete, if they were even professionals back then, that was tall. And so he was like
he's like
guy.
A giant.
Yeah, he's really tall. He's like 6'4".
And I think he trained with Austin, who was like 5'1".
Yeah.
And it made him look even taller, but like you as well.
Yeah.
And so exaggerated it.
And he had this video once where he talked about this particular belt that he liked and the reasons that he liked it versus, because he was a football player or baseball player or something. He did a lot of strength training and he used to wear a leather belt.
Yeah, he was a high-level sportsman before.
Yeah. And then he talked about how the Velcro belt, all the reasons he liked the Velcro belt. Anyway, so obviously he just went and bought the belt that he was talking about. And I feel like it made a huge difference to my CrossFit. The main reason was because previously the belts I tried were the traditional leather belts with the buckles. And I found that when I would like to use a belt with strength training, because you can use belts for all different reasons, I would like to use a belt not necessarily for the highest, most heaviest lifts necessarily, but I like to kind of use them in the mid ranges where most people don't really use them. But I didn't like to use them at full tension. I just like to use them at like, rather than strapping it down as hard as possible, I didn't like it squeezing me that tight. It just didn't feel strong. I like to put it at maybe like a 50% tightness. Just that little bit of extra support through the early rep ranges. Sorry, mid rep ranges, I found was really effective. Really effective.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do. And I do think body shape can come into this. Definitely the taller athletes I see often putting on the belts more often for those type of workouts. Because like, you know, the limb length is longer. So it's a bit easier when you're like 4'9" to pull off some of these lifts.
Yeah.
But yeah, I experienced a similar experience with the Velcro, but it makes a huge difference because it's so much quicker to get in and out. It's easier to have like different levels of tightness. But what I did find was when I was introduced to a very tight belt, like a very tight leather belt, it changed my mind on it. Because I was similar to you.
Yeah.
And then the first time I tried like a really strong leather belt, I was like, oh, this does really help on your very heavy lifting.
Right.
And I can see why people do it a lot. It definitely puts your numbers up and you feel secure with it on.
How much of an increase do you think it gives you? So like take the deadlift, probably the exercise you use it the most for. Because you used it less in squats, right?
Yeah, but that's what changed my mind. I was like, I don't need this.
Okay.
Like my squats are fine. Like they're strong without it. And then my coach Dyer was like, no, dude, just try it. And he just strapped it on. First time I used it, it was like, oh yeah, makes a difference. Wow. And I think then it was like 14 kilos for me, like at the top end, which is quite a lot. Which
that's
is like,
heaps.
Yeah, heaps. It really makes a difference.
It's like 5%.
And I'm like not on squats, the person you'd say, wow, you need a belt. Because my back would just like generally stay fine.
Yeah.
Like I would fail in other areas. I wasn't getting bent over. So it definitely helps. And then deadlift is probably similar, but I would use it much more like all the rep ranges. Like it would help like all my lifts, but I feel like the belt did nothing for me on like 70% on squats.
Yeah.
On deadlifts, because I struggled with the lift more, I feel like it helped me all the way up for sure. So it's different. So I think like if you want like really heavy lifting belt, like I don't think the Velcro belt cuts it.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference between that and the leather belt. And you see, anyone lifting really heavy weights has a leather belt. But like, yeah, functional fitness in that mid-range, it's very helpful.
Yeah.
Even just to cue you how to breathe properly.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Even some workouts when, and I guess it's not really strength training, but even if I was to do like a workout with a moderately heavy weight, say like a, I don't know, 140 kilo deadlift for reps or whatever, and, you know, say it's pretty easy to do for 20 reps unbroken, for example, I would like to just keep it on for the whole workout, even though I don't need a belt to deadlift 140. Mm. But I just knew it would be a good reminder in there to keep the brace nice and strong, to provide that extra little support. And that's where I think I got more of the benefits from belts, because I didn't really go messing around with the leather belts at high-end rep ranges, even though, like you, I think that if I had gotten to that point, I would have got a lot of benefit from it. Yeah. Okay, so next one, what are you putting in next? You putting in pre-workout?
Man, it's different for everyone. I'll probably say straps. I think straps can make a huge difference with your lifting. So, like, I'm not a huge fan of just the guy that walks around the Globo gym and uses straps on every piece of exercise.
So, this would pretty much only be for deadlifts?
Using straps?
Yeah. Where else would you use straps?
I think straps...
Don't say for pull-ups.
No, I think straps in, like, when your hands are just, like, really tired and it gets in the way of, like, your weightlifting.
Yeah.
You can wear snatch, like, on snatches.
Oh, snatch and clean and jerk, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think it can be good. Deadlift, you know, anytime, and it's actually in Project Strong as well, is like when you've got deadlifts with pauses in them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you just like go into that, maybe your hands are sore from something even outside of the program or whatever, and it just like makes you feel like, oh, I'm not going to have a good session. You know, yeah. Sometimes it makes the weights feel heavy, and chucking on the strap on that day can just be like a bit of a superpower.
Yeah.
You know, and you just feel strong, you lift heavy, you hit your numbers, and like, yeah, blisters on your hand or just fatigued forearms don't get in the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly never used straps that much.
Your hands are a lot larger than mine.
Yeah, I've like obviously pretty long, skinny fingers, so I've always not really had an issue with that sort of stuff. But I will definitely agree that when the volume of barbell work picks up and your hands get sore, that's when I think straps are so useful. And that is why I think like the right straps and using straps correctly can make more of a difference than other lifting accessories, because it allows you to keep training.
And yeah.
That makes a huge difference, because if you've never used them before and you do a lot of volume through your hands, deadlifts, pulls, it's really weightlifting, right?
Yeah.
That's where it's most known for. You will notice that like as you start to put your hands in the barbell later in the week, it's miserable.
You're miserable.
Yeah. And that
psychologically, it can really make it tough.
And there was like a very... I don't think there's any actual scientific evidence to support this, but an old weightlifting coach, I think Travis Mash, used to say that he reckons how sore your hands were correlated with how with like readiness, with like HRV. And I don't know, I couldn't actually test that, but if you're doing, I think he may have just got the causation wrong, but the correlation is there. If you're doing so much training that your hands are absolutely shot, I mean, you're doing a lot of weightlifting at that point. And so your body's probably pretty tired. And yeah, as a symptom of just doing so much weightlifting, your hands are pretty sore. And so using a strap just allows you to train and not have to worry about your hands, which takes out, it's a huge factor, right? Just takes care of it for you, allows you to focus on lifting heavy weights and feeling pretty fresh.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that's huge. That goes a long way.
And it's like, oh, I want to go for a nice enjoyable walk. And then you got like all these cuts and the bottom of your feet are super sore. Like how much are you going to enjoy that walk?
Yeah. Get some
shoes. You're probably going to walk a bit shorter.
Yeah. Okay. So straps, belts first, straps second. What are you going next for number three? I think we'll probably agree on this one.
Knee sleeves. Yeah.
And wraps.
Yeah, knee wraps and sleeves.
Yeah.
I've used both, but I've used much more sleeves.
Yeah. Sleeves, I think, matters. I think it depends on the sleeve. There's so... I mean, how many different knee sleeves have we tried over the years?
Oh, so many.
Okay.
Every thickness.
Every Rebound product. Every Rocktape product. Terrible
knee
sleeve.
You know, the first one you made me buy was like the Tommy Kono's.
TK's.
So thick.
TK's, the wetsuit material.
I could barely get the barbell around it.
TK's ripped the hair off your legs.
Yeah.
Warning, if you get TK's, they're awesome, but they do destroy the hair on your legs. And then...
You say Rocktape?
Rocktape made terrible knee sleeves.
I wore Rocktape ones.
Rebound made probably the best.
They're the best
knee sleeve. And then just really any strap. Yeah. Really doesn't really matter too much. The knee straps. Now, when it comes to the different sleeves and the sleeve thicknesses, I think if you're going to bother with knee sleeves, you get thick ones.
Mm.
Those are the ones that make a difference for strength training. I think when you get the thin ones, I think it might be 7 and 5 mils or nine and five mils.
We even had, I don't know if you had like the hook grip ones that were like so thin.
Oh yeah, that's just for looks.
Yeah.
That's for sure. That doesn't do anything. No, that was just because Lu Xiaojun used to wear them. This is like basically a piece of tissue paper. And it was just fashionable.
Yeah.
It was just fashionable. But no, I think if you want knee sleeves that actually make a difference, where they make a difference is... Firstly, the amount of compression they create around the joint. So if you're getting knee sleeves that are quite loose to put on, then you're creating no compression around the knee. So you're not getting that extra compression factor, which helps you lift more. And then the second thing is how much material is in there. The reason why the TKs, the Tommy Konos, work so well is because they were so thick. And so when the material comes together at the back of your knee, it actually creates a decent amount of material bunched up to create some spacing for you to press out of. And so when you get a really thin knee sleeve, there's not enough material to bunch and push against each other together. So if you're picking a knee sleeve that really makes a difference in the bottom of a squat, because that's really what you're using knee sleeves for, right? Bottom of a squat. Thickness and tightness are like the number one factors that actually make a difference. So if you get thin, like loose fitting knee sleeves, like a lot of CrossFitters do, it's just keeping your knees warm. That's it.
Yeah, but it's not worth it because then they stink.
Oh, they stink.
And it's like the worst smelling object. It makes your whole body smell bad.
Cleaning tip for anyone that has stinky knee sleeves, hot water and vinegar, cleaning vinegar. Soak them for about a day. No smell issues for a long time.
But yeah, it does work. And I remember when I was coming back from a meniscus surgery, like it definitely could come back to squatting earlier because of the gapping that it was creating with the material.
The bunching,
mentioned,
yeah.
The bunching the material. Yeah. Like definitely could come back quicker.
Okay.
You know, from the injury. So it does make a difference. They were pretty thick knee sleeves as well. And I just think, yeah, probably same thing. If you're like really pushing heavy weights or you're really pushing volume, then it's a good idea.
Yeah.
If you're not really pushing either of those things, you got to wonder why you really need it.
Yeah. And the knee wraps. So the knee wrap is basically like a wrist wrap, but it's obviously a lot longer. It wraps around your knee a few times. You leave a slight gap for your kneecap. If you get someone else to wrap them for you and you're about to like do a PB, you can barely do an air squat. Mm. That's how tight they are. And that is the ultimate form of knee support. Now, personally, I've only used it a few times just for experimental purposes. I think it takes a little bit of getting used to. It takes a little bit of getting used to with the knee wraps. And I would also say no one listening to this is probably, unless you're really competing in powerlifting, yeah. I think it's an unnecessary strength training.
There's some of these things where it's like, could you lift a bit more if you had it? Yes. But, you know, how much time have you lost in your training session?
Yeah.
When you could just be doing more training.
But also think about how damaging the weight is on your back that you need to wrap your knee that tight to support it. Like you're doing some you're lifting weights that are going to tear your joints apart. That's why you have a knee wrap on, right? Because if you didn't have one on, it'd shred your knee to death. So just consider that. That's why you're using the knee wrap. So by its sleeve, I can definitely vouch for sure.
Yeah.
I don't use them anymore. Let me just say, I don't use any knee sleeves or accessories anymore.
And what I'll say is, you know, the more muscle mass that you pack on either side of your knee, the less you start to need this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, some guys like super thick thighs, super thick calves, like they might still need it at a certain point, but they need it. They don't need it as much on the lighter weights.
Yeah. And I'd also say if your knee hurts and you buy a knee sleeve to help with your knee pain, fix your fucking knee pain.
100%.
Don't just put a band-aid over the solution. And you and I have always said, what's the guaranteed someone's got extreme knee pain? One knee sleeve.
One knee sleeve.
One knee sleeve is always, you know, it's gone
two
bad.
Two is for fashion. One is because some shit really hurts. So you still can't take that one off. Okay, next up, we are going to go wrist wraps.
Yeah, yeah. I could have probably contended between what was more important, wrist wraps and knee wraps, but I think that the reason wrist wraps are not as important is because people that need wrist wraps, they just haven't strengthened their wrists. Mm. That's what it is. Because it's not really like knee strengthening training necessarily.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get it a lot from just squatting and deadlifting. But for your wrists, you need to do wrist-specific training to get them strong. And if you do that, you actually don't need wrist wraps. And that was a big discovery for me. Now, there was this... there's two types of wrist wraps. There's the stretchy Velcro ones. And then there's just the cotton ones. I can't remember what they were called. Just the straight...
Yeah, the CrossFit ones that you wrap. Yeah,
yeah, it's like a straight piece of fabric. It didn't actually stretch. I can't remember what they were called. But they became quite popular for a while.
The reason they're popular in CrossFit is because you can loosen them.
Yes.
You can just easily loosen them with your hand, something else, tighten them again.
Tighten them really quick, yeah. And also, they just weren't as tight overall as... sometimes too tight, the Velcro wraps. But anyway, so with the wrist wrap, what I found was I was getting a lot of wrist pain and I was relying very heavily, even with an empty barbell, on the wrist wrap. And then when I started doing, I took the weight off, stopped pushing it as hard, did some wrist-specific strengthening drills, some planche leans, back of the wrist push-ups, fingertip push-ups, knuckle elevations, just some basic stuff. And I just threw it in my warm-up. It wasn't like I did five sets of five every day.
Do you still have that video? You have a good video of...
Oh, man, I do.
We used to give it to so many clients.
Yeah, I think, I want to say it's on YouTube. Looking back on that video now, firstly, the gym floor was absolutely filthy that day. I think that was before we used to mop the gym. This is many years ago. I think the wrist exercises weren't scaled enough. I think I was too good at them at that point, and I was doing like really, really hard versions of them. Because, yeah, I did share it around. You probably just find it on YouTube. I think it's on the Creature Fitness YouTube. It's just me doing a bunch of wrist strengthening exercises that... I just gathered up amongst the internet. But it makes a huge difference to the strength in your wrist. Absolutely huge difference. So wrist wraps, I think, get your wrist strong first and then add the wrap on top of that and you've got a pretty, pretty stable base to lift some pretty heavy weights for. Yeah.
Okay. Next one I'm going to go, I don't know if you've ever used them before, but gymnastics grips.
Yeah, gymnastics grips. I mean, we're talking about strength training here, and you're not really using these for a barbell, but you are using these for pull-ups. And but you've used these a lot before. We've experimented Root Grips, and Root Grips still going?
I don't know.
Australian company?
Probably.
Yeah.
You can use a ton of these. I think if you're just doing strength training, probably not necessary very much, but similar to the strap scenario here, which is just like, if it makes your hands feel better, that can often improve your training.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, gymnastics grips, I think it's more of a gymnastics thing, obviously. It's less of a strength training thing. But if you know how to use gymnastics grips properly from gymnastics or CrossFit, then you can see how they fit into some potential barbell training as well in the future. But most likely, unless you're just doing like weighted pull-ups and you got sore hands, you don't really need gymnastics grips unless you're doing a lot of high-volume gymnastics work. That's when you need.
And truth is, if you are not sure, it's better to not use it because there is always something lost.
Yeah.
You know, when you put a piece of material between your hand and the object you're lifting, there is something lost. Like, you know, the ultimate just feeling on the bar, and obviously there's, you know, no extra material, it's making the bar a little bit fatter as well. It's just your bare hand on the bar.
Yeah.
You know, so it is taking away a little bit. So if you don't need it, I would probably recommend not using it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one, I'm going to say pre-workout.
Yeah, I would have put pre-workout next. The reason is because, it depends what pre-workout you're talking about, but I'm talking about like pre-workout supplements, like hardcore pre-workout supplements, like C4. C4 is the most famous one. What's another pre? Monster?
Jack 3D.
Jack 3D.
Yeah.
Well, that's illegal, but Monster. Heroin. No, so you've got all different types of these crazy, colorful pre-workouts. Honestly, I think that if you are relying on them to get strong, it's a crutch, right? It's a crutch. I mean, yeah, maybe you're lifting the most weight in the gym, but you, in your head, don't feel like you can bring that same amount of energy and strength without it. And definitely, I fell for that early on in my lifting career. And you see it. Some people become pre-workout addicts because it's a routine, right? I almost think if you gave them a placebo, they would still go in and do a hard training session.
Exactly. I mean, I think pre-workouts are good for, like, as long as you use them more for fun. For fun or competition, you know, it's like, I just want to have a good time in the gym. Competition, it does help. So it's good to have. But for fun, I think they're good as well. It's like, dude, I just want to have like a mad time in the gym. Jacked out of our minds on pre-workouts. It's like drinking at a bar. You can still enjoy yourself at a bar without it.
Yeah.
And you can still say, hey, it's a crutch. Sometimes you're like, I know it's a crutch, but I just have a better time on something.
That's fair.
And all drugs and alcohol, I guess you could say that for. I feel like this is just like a low. Well, some it's a high level. It's so strong. But it's a bit of a level of that. Dude, I want to have a mad time in the gym today. Yeah. I just want to like be buzzing when I get in there. I think it's fun, but it can't be like, I just need this for a Tuesday.
Yeah. No, I agree. So I'd say that try and lay off the pre-workout if you can. But if you do need something more regular, it's better to have a coffee. Better have something that's just simple, caffeine, got some antioxidants in it. You can control the dosage a little bit more, and it's not just full of all that other shit. Ideally, if you can, you won't need it. Look, if you want the best pre-workout in terms of just actual energy, just drink a Gatorade. Just drink something with some sugar, fast absorption, electrolytes, hydration, and you'll have the energy you need, definitely. So last and least most important strength training accessory at this point would be a lifting suit.
Yeah.
You have a story about a lifting suit.
Well, okay, so lifting suit, the first time we were exposed to it, I want to say, was when my best friend from high school put on a lifting suit.
This is not a weightlifting. This is not like a...
This is a powerlifting suit.
Powerlifting suit.
So I can't remember the... It's like single ply, I think. Single ply. I don't know. It was so confusing back then. Double ply, triple ply, 10 ply. This was like single ply. This wasn't even the most hardcore. His biggest squat at the time was 140. Anyway, it took us...
Well, how old were you guys?
16.
Yeah.
He was probably like... 85, 90 kilos, was a big boy at that time. Man, it took four of us to get this suit on him. They are so tight. It is totally nuts.
I know, it's his size, right?
Yeah, it's just like, people don't realize with these suits, like he couldn't, not even close, get to do an air squat with the suit on.
Not even close.
Not close.
How much do you think you could bend at the hip?
It's really like a tenth of his squat. It was so hard to get his hips down. Like, I remember when we were getting ready to squat, I jumped on him, so I jumped on his shoulders, and he could still not get down to a squat. At the time, it was only 50 kilos, but he still couldn't get down to a squat. Anyway, gets in the rack. We load up. He squats 200 down a parallel.
140 was his max before that. 60 kilos over his max. Oh my.
He probably didn't hit depth, required, but he was like pretty close. I mean, we were all probably squatting pretty high at the time. And then I want to say, okay, we're like, cool, dude, let's do some back offs. I think we're like 180. And dude, he started going down and there was just too much tension in the suit and he just lost control. And I remember he like flew forwards, flew back, and this bar was just going like absolutely nuts in the thing. Anyway, he ended up lying on the ground, barbell, like, you know, 45 degree angle.
Fuck.
And we were like, dude, I don't think this suit's a good idea.
One session and it's gone. But you never got in the suit.
I never got in. It wasn't my size.
Okay.
Yes. And they're like expensive suits. All I've ever really used is a weightlifting suit.
Yeah. We've used that. We've both used that. I had the blue one. You had the black one.
Yep.
Those are legendary, those suits. When was the last time we lifted in those suits? Because it would have been some sort of comp.
I think the last time I wore it...
Was it that Perth comp?
No, I wore it at regionals.
You wore the weightlifting suit at regionals?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. For the straps on? For the snatch ladder.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
Was that the snatch where we snatched and then I missed the weight, but he counted it?
No, that was when we were in the team, but individual the next year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What did you lift? What did you snatch?
It was a snatch ladder. So I finished the 100 kilo. No, I didn't finish the 100 kilos. I didn't get to 110. Okay. I think I got 4 out of 5 at 100.
Yeah.
225. Man, weightlifting suits are fun.
Yeah. Yeah. They bring the mad energy. And you had the mohawk and shit. Yep. Yeah. It's sick. Yeah. But look, for a powerlifting suit, yeah, it's just, I don't know, unless you're actually doing the sport.
That type of lifting has really fallen out of popularity.
It has, yeah.
Hugely. You know, 15 years ago, raw was like a weird thing, like no one did, and now it's the only thing like nearly everybody does.
Yeah, it doesn't feel legit to them, no. I guess. But, you know, hear Louis Simmons talk about the differences or whatever, and it makes sense. Like, I have full respect for
that. Yeah, it's still awesome, and it does actually protect you from injuries, and apparently some people say injuries have gone up now.
Because of raw.
Yeah, because of raw. Like particularly pec tears and stuff like that on the bench. Like it was initially designed to prevent injuries, take the load off the chest.
Right.
The bone, and they're like, oh,
kind of like the slingshot.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we can actually lift crazy heavy with this. But what they didn't realize, and I think what's brought powerlifting back into popularity, is that now it's just like a fair comparison again.
Yeah.
The average person can be like, whoa, like I bench 100 and you bench like 400.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Whereas, you know, when you hear the powerlifting guys, they're like, I squat 1,000, but like, it's got this suit on. You're like, oh, what could I squat with a suit? I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, no comparison. Now I don't care.
Yeah, no comparison. No, it's fair enough. Okay, so those are the main accessories. Look, if you guys are doing a strength training program like Project Strong, the only things we'd probably recommend using that is the first two, really. So using the belt, using the straps, and then, you know, potentially, depending on the health of your knees, potentially looking into a sleeve in some of the higher sets. But look, that's not necessary. But yeah, I definitely think a belt and some straps would definitely help you go a long way there. So again, from the top, most important, belts, weightlifting straps, knee sleeves, gymnastics grips, pre-workouts. Oh, sorry. Before that, wrist wraps, then gymnastics grips, then pre-workouts, then lifting suits. So those are the strength training accessories that we recommend. And hopefully that gave you guys some insights. Guys, remember, we deliver all our training on True Coach for our clients. So individualized training software. So at truecoach.co/MMP is our link, or you can use MMP when you check out, and that'll give you a free trial and a discount off your next month. But guys, remember, if you are using a program like True Coach, you are offering a premium service to your clients. So if you want to take online coaching seriously, if you want to manage things really easily in one place, if you want that professional look for delivering online coaching, definitely check out True Coach. So again, truecoach.co, and then our code is MMP when you check out for a discount. All right, guys, thanks so much, and we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/TheAfterShow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.